Good morning. As has been mentioned already, we are continuing this morning with our mini-series from the book of Proverbs. We have a total of four more messages from Proverbs to give a taste of this book. This is the last one, however, in which the children will be present. I hope that the Proverbs will come to everyone, including the children here. What is said in Psalm 19, and of which we also had an illustration this morning with the honey, we sang about this, that the Proverbs, as with true with the rest of the Word of God, will be sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And I pray that we would all be encouraged to learn more from the wealth of the wisdom in Proverbs as we continue through this month together to look at topics from the book. Now, I'd like to draw your attention to two things that were mentioned in the Bible reading. I'm taking a chance on this first one because so far I have not done real well in having people guess what this is supposed to be a model of. Do you have an idea, Johannes?
A tiller.
Okay, that's close. The tiller is what controls this, and you said it's a rudder. Thank you. The first person I asked, I won't say who it was, said, it's a door. I said, no. Then I was told, hold it a different way, and you'll get an idea. Okay, this is supposed to be similar to what a rudder looks like. Now, the next question may be even more difficult. How big do you think a ship or boat would be that had a rudder this size? How big do you think it would be? Adults, have any idea?
About the size of the sanctuary.
That would be the smallest boat that this would be on. I did some checking, and the width of the rudder in a merchant vessel of 1900 would be 100 times the length than a large cruise vessel like the Titanic. It'd be 40 to 60 times the size. And that's the length of this auditorium, is the smaller one of the two. That's what we read about, or heard read this morning from James, when it says that take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. I think you know what this is. It's a little bit easier. If you listen, you can answer the next question. What do the two of these things have in common? What if I held this up against the box? What would happen?
It'd expand.
It would expand. It would grow and probably set that on fire. Well, maybe a little bit damp. I'm not sure if it would work. But with this little flame, you could start a whole forest on fire. These two things have in common that they're both small but very powerful. And that's exactly what James says about our words. Our tongue, very small part of your body. You can't walk on it, can't lift much with it, just lick the honey that's off the side of the spoon that sticky won't come off. But words can be very powerful. Proverbs 18:21 tells us the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We must take great care in understanding the power of our words. They can be for good or bad. Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Words can hurt or they can make you well, emotionally and spiritually. Words can give exactly what you need to encourage and cheer you. Pleasant words are a honeycomb. Again, the illustration we heard this morning. Sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. It's Proverbs 16:24. But Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a gossip, person who whispers secrets to you about other people, are like choice morsels. Oh, good things to eat. You listen to, oh, that's interesting to hear. But they go down to the man's innermost parts. They go into you, and it's hard to get rid of them. Once you heard something that somebody told you about somebody else, even though it's a lie, it's hard to forget it. Words are powerful. So we need to use our words wisely. We need to speak wisely or to speak well. How do we speak wisely, and what are well-spoken words? That's our theme for this morning. Very first thing to remember, get that out of the way. Very first thing to remember is that wise words are limited. That means it's wise to limit how much we say. Now, one of my favorite proverbs is found in a couple places in Proverbs. One is Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Now, we've used cups a couple times to represent different types of people in Proverbs. We had the fool. Remember, he was full of cotton fluff. Not much substance to his life, and we'd be blown away. Then we had the wise man, and he was full of precious stones. Well, I brought another one to add this morning. I had to put him up a little bit higher for you to see. You know what he's doing? What's he doing? He stuck his tongue out and grabbed the hole. He's holding his tongue. Even a fool is considered wise if he holds his tongue. I think that's somewhat in jest, because one of the problems a fool is he doesn't hold his tongue. But if he could hold his tongue, others would think, well, he's pretty smart. He's showing some wisdom. And that's one that, if there's anything you remember, there's a good one to remember. Even a fool is thought wise if he holds his tongue. One of the reasons for that is, you know what comes out of our mouth? Is what's in our heart. And our hearts contain things that aren't always good. And when we talk too much, guess what? Some of those bad things come out. When words are many, sin is not absent. So one of the best ways to start using words wisely is to stop speaking. If you don't say anything, you won't say anything wrong. But sometimes we do have to say something. So the next step, it's also wise to limit how quickly we speak. If you're going to have to say something, don't say it right away. Stop and think before you say something. Now, has that ever happened at home where your mom or dad has said something and you've given an answer back real quickly and then gotten in trouble for it? I hope not, but I see some smiles that may indicate that that has happened. I know it has in my life. And not just as a child. Adults, how many times have you sat down and sent off an email too quickly and gotten in trouble? It's not just what comes out of our mouth, it's what we speak through our fingers as well. And it's so easy to sit down at that computer and you get a letter and you go, and off it goes. And suddenly you get a response back and you go, oh, that wasn't taken too well. There's a draft box, by the way, people. Sometimes it's best to put that letter into draft and let it sit there for a day and then go back and reread it. Maybe even 2 or 3 days. And you might not send it after all. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." Someone starts to tell you something, and you come back so quickly with an answer, and you make a fool of yourself because you didn't hear everything that the person was going to say. The first to present his case seems right, till another comes along and question him. Listen before you speak. Get the whole story. You know, one friend comes to you and says something else, and you're ready to jump into action, and then someone else comes along and says, "Well, that's not what I saw. I don't think that's what happened. That's not what Mommy said." Oops. Be careful before you speak. So the very first thing to remember, to use words wisely, hold your tongue. Limit what you say, and when you have to say something, take some time to think about it. And the second thing that follows, words, wise words, are appropriate. Now, appropriate means saying the right thing at the right time. I brought some things along with me. I better stick close to the microphone here. You know what this is? You know what that is? You know what?
Marker.
That's a permanent marker. What would you use it for? I used it to draw some smiley faces. Nice big black bold print. Okay. How about these things?
Chalk.
What would you use chalk for? You use chalk, Elijah? What have you used it for?
Chalkboard.
A chalkboard. Would you use this on a chalkboard? Yeah? What would happen if you did? You'd probably get in trouble. Because this is permanent and it doesn't come off. That wouldn't be a good thing to use on a chalkboard. How about... I'll do it this way so you don't see the advertisement on the side. What's this?
Highlighter?
It's a highlighter. Would you use this to highlight something? What would happen? You wouldn't be able to see it. Wouldn't be smart. These are some of my favorite. What are these? Pencils. What type of pencils?
Colored
pencils. Zach, do you use? Let's see, which one's Zach here? Zachary. You're Zachary. You're Nathan. Okay. What would you use colored pencils for?
Drawing.
Drawing? Okay, you can make nice drawings with that. Have you ever drawn on the sidewalk, go out in the street? You've never done that? Have any of the others ever done that? You've never drawn on the street? Yeah, okay. Thank you. Would you use these to draw on the street? No. What would you use to draw on the street? Chalk. In fact, there's some really nice work that's been done drawing on the street. Well, those are things, like our words, that you got to use the right words at the right time. Would you, in school, use a marker to do your homework? Unless you were being asked to draw a picture, probably not. You would want to pick a pencil or a pen to do your homework in school. And if you're out on the street, you're not going to use your good colored pencils to draw on the sidewalk. We need to make sure that we pick the right words at the right time. Proverbs 10:32 says, "The lips of the righteous know what is fitting, but the mouth of the wicked only know what's perverse." The evil person speaks like a person who takes a marker and writes on a blackboard, and then they can't get it off. I have a whiteboard, and I have a flip chart, and I have this type of pen for the flip chart, and I have a special type of pen for the whiteboard. And guess what happens when it gets reversed? I get marks on my whiteboard that you can't get off. That's not good. That's like an evil person who just do things that are bad. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? Proverbs 25:11 says, a word aptly spoken, a fitting word, is like apples of gold in settings of silver. If you say just the right thing at the right time, it will give you joy and give the other person joy. You'll come away thinking, oh, wasn't that good? Just the right word, just what a person needed, and you can see this, they're satisfied. You say, boy, I'm glad I said that. Have you ever said the wrong thing and you notice that the other person got hurt? How'd you feel then? Not too good. When you say the right thing and the person's happy, it will give you joy as well. It's easier to say the right words, the fitting words, when we practice the first principle. Hold your tongue. Don't speak right off. Think before you answer. Think and pray about what's the right thing to say. And then you can pick the right word, the right words to say. It's also important to say them at the right time. It may be truth, but it may not be the right thing to say at the right time. You may need to wait. And that brings us to a third principle, which is very important, which I have found in Proverbs anyway, and that is wise words are always truthful. If you're lying, it's not wise. We need to hear the truth. Proverbs 16:13 says, kings will take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. Proverbs tells us God hates a lying tongue. He hates deception. He'll punish the person who lies about another. And since the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, we will be wise to speak the truth. Now, sometimes people lie because they think that the lie will make us feel good, that we'll like to hear what they say. But the truth is always better than telling a lie. It says, he who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue. Now, something may look good, and you think it's candy and sweet. Now, I brought some along with me. Would these things look good to eat? Now, I would guess you might like this. This is pineapple, dried pineapple. Does anyone like that? Right? They'll be at the back later if you want to try. Now, how about these? If you liked pineapple and you thought, well, this is nice and sweet and good, I think I'll take some of this. And I knew you liked sweet things. Should I tell you the truth about what this is? Now, some of you might know what this is. You girls might. Can you take a smell of that? You don't know what it is? Okay. Yeah, I hear. I can smell it from my arm length away. This is ginger. Dried ginger. Do you know what that tastes like? It's spicy hot. Now, I know there's some who like that. Ani, you can you can have some afterwards. Now, I could lie and say, oh, I know you like candy. Go ahead and take some. But would you appreciate that? When you put it in your mouth and suddenly you go, this isn't what I thought it was. That's exactly what happens with a lie. The person thinks it's true. They take it. It sounds good at first, but suddenly, or maybe not so, maybe later, they realize it's, you didn't tell me. And we should tell the truth. Wise words always tell the truth. This is sweet. This is spicy. You may like it, you may not. I would describe the fourth and last principle in these general words. Wise words are gentle. As we carefully choose truthful words to speak at the right time, we must remember to speak gently. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. Two other translations I use many times say he has a cool spirit. Now, first, we can see a connection with the first principle. The wise person uses words with restraint. To restrain something means to hold it, to hold back. He holds his tongue. He's very slow to speak. He limits his word. He doesn't immediately say what he's thinking or feeling. He gives himself time to correctly respond. Second, we see the wise way to use words is with an even temper, to do it coolly, not to yell at a person, not to get hot and angry. Stay cool. Don't yell. Wise words are gentle. Now, some people seem to think if you really want to have some power, if you really want to show, you raise your voice louder and you yell at the person, "Listen to me!" But Proverbs says that the gentle word is powerful. Did you know that? Gentle words can stop a fight. Ever see someone, a teacher, someone trying to stop two kids from fighting, and what do? They yell? "Stop that! You shouldn't be doing that!" Gentle words can stop a fight before it starts. Proverbs 15, verse 1. It's another one. It's a good one to underline and remember. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If you want to get a fight started, now, the word is powerful. Your words are powerful one way or the other. You can start the fight, or you can stop the fight. If you want to get the fight going and make it worse, just be harsh in what you say. If you want to control things and stop the fight before it even starts, use a gentle, speak kindly to the person. Gentle words can persuade when harsh words may not. Proverbs 25:15, through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Well, that's a strange thing to say. If a person speaks harshly to the king, you know, the king calls someone in, and he asks him a question, and the person speaks back, "Well, that was a stupid thing to say, king. Why'd you say that?" How do you think the king would respond? "Well, thank you for telling me that." I don't think so. He would get in trouble for speaking that way to the king. And the king probably wouldn't listen to what he said. But with patience and gentle words, the king could be persuaded. I just finished reading some stories, some accounts about King David. Before he was king, Saul was king. Saul was out to kill him. He was king. And there was times that David met with the king and called out to him and said, "What have I done wrong? I could have taken you. I could have taken your life. Why are you pursuing me? I'm just a flea." And he spoke and dealt with the king gently rather than harshly. And the king listened because God was working in his life. Speaking patiently and gently is as strong and powerful as hitting someone hard enough to break a bone. It's like using a club to hit someone. Speak gently, and the words are that powerful. Pleasant words, like sweet honey, as we heard before, can improve our well-being. When little else can help, just the right word at the right time can cheer us up, can encourage us, and help us to do the right thing. Now, how can we be sure that our words will be right, the right ones? How can we speak wisely? Well, the very first thing, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Therefore, the battle for the right words and speaking well begins in our heart. We heard that in James. When there's evil inside of us, what's going to come out of our mouth? That's what Jesus said too. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's what we have inside. It's the righteous person who gives the right answer. The heart of the righteous weighs his answer. It's the righteous person who's going to hold his tongue and think about what he says before he says it. The mouth of the wicked gushes evil. That means it's just like water pouring out. In this city, I'm not sure if you've ever seen a fire hydrant with water coming out of it. Where I went to college, it was in Philadelphia in the city, and when we had real hot weather, sometimes the fire department would come along and open up a fire hydrant and let the water just gush out into the street, and the kids would come out and play. They'd have a great time. That's the way the wicked are with what comes out of their mouth. They gush evil, just pouring out rapidly. Instead, we should think carefully. The righteous person will think carefully. Last year's Sunday school camp dealt with an important verse. Not this one, just this past June, but last year. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. If you want to be sure that the right things come out of your mouth, make sure you have the right things in your heart. Let's set aside our whys and do you know what this is? Are you familiar with that? What do you think that is?
Syrup.
It's syrup. It's grenadine. Grenadine syrup. And if you like sweet things, here's a real nice sweet thing. I even brought some water along with me. I made the mistake of not opening it up beforehand. There we go. Now, what do you think this would taste like? Would this be good? Just right. It's really a good thing to drink. Probably not that healthy for you, but if you've got a sweet tooth, it's really nice. I brought something else along with me. You know what this is?
It's either sugar or salt.
It's either sugar or salt. You ever put sugar in something like this? This is salt in a salt shaker. I brought this along too. This is. Would any of you like to drink this? Huh, why not? Sometimes I have to wash my mouth out with salt because if, you know, something happens, it's good to work on the gums and it's like. I wouldn't want to drink a glass of that. But maybe we could make it taste better. What do you think? How about now? Anybody want to try it? I've got an idea. How about if we use a straw? And you just suck out the sweet portion. Do you think that'll work? Grenadine's red, that's not going to work. How about we use a red straw? You think that'll work? Just suck out the red sweet stuff? You don't seem to believe me. I'm glad you don't. We read that this morning. Heard it read. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father. With it we curse men who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring. Can we have one cup and put both salty water in it and sweet water and get one or the other, get just salty water out or just sweet water? You can't do that. We've mixed it together. And even if you use a red straw, you're not going to get that red sweet liquid out. It doesn't work. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear olives? Can a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. If our hearts are bad, if our hearts are full of salt water, nothing sweet is going to come out. The problem is, we've all started with bad hearts. Every person who's born starts out with a heart that just will gush evil. Now, the problem is even worse than that. Because our hearts are bad, we are enemies of God. He could change us, but we start our life not wanting God to change us and wanting instead to do the things our own way. So our tendency is going to want to say bad things. We will want to hurt people. We want to take vengeance. We want to speak right away what's on our mind. We don't want to hold our tongues. We want that other person to know what we're thinking. That's the way we tend to be right from the start. And that disobedience, disobeying God, requires His punishment. He says He's going to punish us for that. So we've got a real problem. We've got bad hearts, and we have disobeyed God because of that, and He needs to punish us. But God came in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. He was punished in our place because we would not obey God. And God now offers to anyone who believes both forgiveness for having a bad heart and something else. He offers us a new heart. Not only does He forgive us for the bad that we have in us, for that salty, yucky tasting stuff in our lives, He gives us a new heart. All who believe and have been given a new heart need not speak bad things anymore. We can speak wisely. We can speak well as we learn God's word and apply it to our lives. We have sweet, fresh water in our lives. And then, out of that heart, we get some really nice words. And I don't mind drinking that at all after tasting that other stuff. That's what God offers us in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness for what we have done bad. New hearts so that we can speak the right words. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You that as we face the struggle of knowing what to say, how to say it, and we face the struggle of our own tongue, knowing that it's just a little thing but so difficult to control, that in You there's sufficient power to do it. We know that the tongue just pours out what's in our own heart, and our hearts, without Your work, are wicked. Thank You that You have sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place, to forgive us of our sin, but much more than that, to give us new hearts so that we can fill our hearts with what's good and right and speak good and right words every time we should, when we should, and to hold our tongues and not speak when we shouldn't speak. Thank You, Lord, for the forgiveness and the new life that we have in Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.